Would you turn back to Ephesians chapter 2? I have entitled this message, Good Works. Now, this is Paul's conclusion to where he began in verse 1. For I said all of that to say this, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Good works. What comes to your mind when you hear this phrase? It's very important. Paul said in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, that God's people are a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Every one of them. Zealous of good works. The Lord said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now you let it so shine in this way, not that they'll glorify you, but they'll glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, what comes to your mind when you think of this phrase, good works? Well, there'll be some who think, I've got a lot of them. Like that group on Judgment Day who will say, in your name have we not done many wonderful works? The quantity, many. The quality, wonderful. Or you could think, good works, I need more of them. Surely if I was saved, I would give more evidence of salvation with more good works. I need more of them. Or you may stop your ears to this and say, well, this is legalism. What are you doing talking about good works? Salvation is not by works. This is legalism. Well, Paul says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The we is every believer. We are His workmanship, created. What do you have to do with creation? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, verse 1 of chapter 2, and you hath He quickened who were dead, dead in trespasses and sins. Now, what can a dead man do to be saved by his works? Nothing. Dead. Not hurt. Not needing help. Dead. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature. By nature. This is the way we were born. The children of wrath, just like everybody else, even as others. But God, not but you, turned it around, not but you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, but God. That's grace. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, given us life together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved. I love that sentence. By grace are you saved, because I know this. Like I said last week, my greatest need is salvation. I need him to save me. I need him to save me from himself. I've sinned against him. He's the one who could put me into hell. I need saved from God. I need saved from myself. The worst thing that could ever happen to me is for the Lord to leave me to myself. That's all he's got to do. Leave me alone. He doesn't have to do anything but leave me alone, and I'll go to hell. I need to be saved from my sins. The condemnation of sin, the penalty of sin, the power of sin. I need to be saved from my sins. I need to be saved from my circumstances that my sins bring on me. I need to have the Lord bring good out of evil. I need saved. By grace. By grace are you saved. Through faith. What's the evidence? God has given you grace. You believe the gospel. That's the only evidence. You believe. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. That faith is not the product of your free will. That's foolishness. That's evil. That's giving yourself the credit. That's believing salvation by works. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. Here's the conclusion of all of this. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The word workmanship is where we get the word poem in our English from. We, speaking every believer, all of God's elect, we are his poem. We are his workmanship. My favorite line of poetry, I said this last week, I'm going to say it again. My favorite line of poetry is a line by Robert Frost. And every time I feel like I'm in a bad mood, I like to think of this line. The way a crow shook down on me a dust of snow from a hemlock tree has given me a change of mood and saved some part of a day I'd rued. I love that line. Now, what if I said, I wrote that? It would be what is called plagiarism. It would be a lie, and I would be seeking to give the glory to myself that was due only to Robert Frost. It would be plagiarism. We are his workmanship. We are his poem. Now, the we, as I've already said, is every believer. Without exception, we are his workmanship. There are strong believers, there are weak believers, there are rejoicing believers, there are struggling believers, and they're all equally saved for this one singular reason. We are his workmanship. And he never fails in his works. You know, he doesn't have a pile over here of failures that didn't reach the standard. No, every believer, we are his workmanship. Now, this word workmanship is translated in Romans chapter 1. Turn with me there for a second. Romans chapter 1. Make us understand what this is. Verse 20. For the invisible things of him the things that we don't see physically, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Now that is the same word as workmanship. Creation, we can see, is His workmanship. If you don't willfully blind yourself, you can see that God made the universe. It's His workmanship. He's eternal. Nobody made Him. And He's all powerful. He spake the world into existence. It is His workmanship. If you see a beautiful painting, you never think that the paint somehow evolved and there's that beautiful painting on the canvas. You don't think anything like that. You know a very skilled artist produced that painting. If there's a novel, it didn't begin with some kind of big bang and all of a sudden the words turn into this novel. You wouldn't think anything so foolish. When you see a computer, you don't think, well, that evolved from a typewriter. No, not at all. Somebody very smart, with much ability, put together that computer. It's His workmanship. That's what the word means. Workmanship. It's the workmanship of somebody very intelligent. I love what David said in Psalm 100, verse 3. It is He that made us, and not we ourselves. We are His workmanship. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 10, and this is the confession of every believer, without exception, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. What am I? Well, first of all, I'm a sinner. And it's only by the grace of God I know that. There are many people who do not really know that they're a sinner in the scriptural sense. And by that I mean somebody who, all they do is sin. They cannot not sin. That's what a sinner is. It's the one who commits the sin. It's the person who cannot look down their nose in moral superiority at anybody for any reason. It's the one who has no claims on God. They're sinners. I'm a sinner, and it's by the grace of God. A sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost hath made him so. I'm an elect sinner, chosen by God before time began. You see, I'm His workmanship. I'm a justified sinner. That means I stand before God without guilt. That means I stand before God having never sinned, perfectly righteous. I'm a redeemed sinner. All my sins have been paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's His workmanship. I didn't have anything to do with this. I didn't have any hand in this. That's what He did. I'm a regenerated sinner. I've been given a new nature, a new heart, one that wasn't there before. I'm His workmanship. Up to this point, I'm a preserved sinner. I've not fallen away. I've continued in the faith. That's His workmanship. And when I stand before His throne, dressed in beauty, not my own, I'll tell you what, I'm going to cry, I'm His workmanship. We are His workmanship, His poem. Don't commit plagiarism. That's so evil. I had some hand in this. No, you didn't. We are His workmanship. And any questioning of that, saying I had something to do with it, is evil. That's all it is. It's evil. We are His workmanship, His poem. his work. And he says something even stronger in the next phrase. Turn back to our text in Ephesians chapter 2. We are his workmanship. Now look what it says next. Created. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Created. Now, humanly speaking, when we admire the workmanship of somebody, something they produced, they had something to work with, didn't they? A painter has his paints, his brush, his canvas. You look at something that is made of steel. Well, that steel was made from raw products, iron ore. See, there's iron ore, there's limestone, there's iron. Well, there's several things that it's got raw materials that make up the steel. It wasn't created, it was made from these raw materials. When someone, we admire their workmanship, well, they had raw materials to work with, didn't they? Whatever it was they made. That's not so in creation. In creation, there were no raw materials to work with. He made something from nothing. He created the universe as an act of his will. Creation. Created. I love that scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. You see, if you're a believer, not only did God create the universe, he created you in Christ Jesus. He brought something from nothing. And if you're a believer right now, this is so important that you and I understand this. I don't mean understand it, but believe it. There's no way I can understand it, but I do believe it. If you're a believer, you have two separate natures. You have the old nature, the one you were born with, and you have the new nature that you were given when you were born again. A new nature that was not there before. A holy nature and an evil nature. A nature that cannot sin and a nature that cannot not sin. And these two natures come through one consciousness. It's not like you say, well, I see that one's part. That's the new and that's the old. No, they all funnel through one consciousness, like hot and water coming through one faucet. But you have two separate natures. And if you're a believer, you understand this. If you're not a believer, if the Lord hadn't done anything for you, this doesn't make sense to you. You can't. If you only have one nature, you can't understand having two natures. It's impossible. But if you have two, if you're a believer, you know I have a nature that's completely evil, and I've got a nature that believes the gospel. That's what the man cried out in Mark chapter 9. I believe, help thou mine unbelief. The new nature believes. The old nature never believes. And they're always coming through that one consciousness. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Now, this is very important. Created in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus. Now, when Adam was created, do you know everybody was in him? You were in him? You know, when Adam was created, he was created before Eve, and yet it says before the creation of Eve, male and female created he them. You see, when Adam was created, Eve was in him. She was taken out of his side. And you and I were in him, in his loins. We all have this in common. Adam. I think it's interesting how everybody is so interested in their family tree. Well, you shake it long enough and Adam's going to fall out. We all have the same family. Adam. Adam. Fallen Adam. And in Adam, all die. Adam, I've heard people say Adam was the federal head of our race. No, he's not. He's the seminal head. The seed. All the seed were in him. He's the seminal head. He's not just a federal head like the president of the United States, but he's the seminal head. Christ Jesus, created in him, he is the seminal head of all the elect, the seed. A seed shall serve him. Created in Christ Jesus. Now somebody says, explain that to me. I can't. I can declare it. It's what the Bible teaches. Created in Christ Jesus. Can I give a complete explanation of how all that is? No, I can't. I don't feel a need to. Just believe. Can I explain how God is one God and three distinct persons? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost? No, I can't. I just believe it. Believe the gospel. If it's something that you could understand or wouldn't mean anything to it anyway. If you can grasp it intellectually, ain't much to it. Oh, the gospel is to be believed and to be bowed to. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, question. If God foreordained your salvation, is there any way that you will not be saved? Repeat. If God foreordained your salvation, if He determined your salvation, is there any way you will not be saved? The answer is no. If God determined your salvation, you must be saved. You can't be anything but saved if God foreordained your salvation. Now, the second question. If God ordained beforehand that you should walk in good works, is there any way, is there any scenario in which you will not walk in good works? If God ordained that you should walk in good works? The answer to that question is the same as the answer to the previous question. You will walk in good works. If God ordained that you should walk in good works, you will walk in good works. You can't do anything but walk in good works. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25 for a moment. Verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them, one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, is there any way that they can fail to inherit this kingdom if it was prepared for them from the foundation of the world? No. This is the elect. This is the sheep. They must be saved. Now, look what he says. For I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Now, I believe that first, that represents the preaching of the gospel. I was hungry, and you gave me meat. Isn't that what happens in preaching? I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger. You took me in. That's the gospel. I was naked, and you clothed me. That's the gospel, clothed with His righteousness. I was sick, and you visited me. All His divine visitation. I was in prison in my own nature, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous, verse 37, answer and saying, Lord, we don't know about any of this. we're not aware of ever having done anything. You know, when it says a believer zealous of good works, that doesn't mean he thinks he has plenty of them. He wants to, though. That's the way he's zealous of good. I want to honor the Lord. I want to glorify the Father by my works. That's what the believer desires. But does he know he has any? No. We didn't know about any of this. We didn't know about any of this. If you think you've performed one good work, let me give you a hint. You haven't. You haven't. You don't even know what they are. A good work is not, well, I'm going to perform this good work. You ruined it. It's no good. It's not even real. That's just phony human religion is all it is. If you think, well, I'm going to do this, this can be a good work. No, you don't even know what good works are. You're clueless. They didn't know about these things the Lord said they did. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it to one of the least of these my brethren, because they're united to me, I'm their head, they are in me, you've done it unto me. Then shall he also say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no meat. You never preached the gospel. You didn't even believe it. I was thirsty. You gave me no drink. You didn't tell me of the gospel. I was a stranger and you took me not in. I was naked and you clothed me not. I was sick and in prison. You visited me not. Lord, we've established hospitals and soup kitchens and we've helped all kinds of people. What's this all about? We thought we did. Then shall they answer him, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger or thirst or a stranger, naked or sick or in prison, did not minister to thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Who is the only one who can identify a good work? Who's the only one who can identify a good work? The Lord Jesus. Me and you wouldn't know a good work if we saw one. But he does. He does. And do you know there's only one time that he identified something as a good work? Only once. Now, all kinds of folks thought they had a lot of good works, many and wonderful. But only one time did he commend a work as a good work. Now, this is what every believer is ordained to walk in them. Not to do them, but to walk in them. This is my life. Now, a good work isn't something you do. It's what you are. You walk in them. It's not that, I'm going to do this good work, I need to do that good. No, that's not good works. Let's look at what the Lord called a good work. Turn with me to Mark chapter 14. And being, verse 3, and being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman, a nameless woman, having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, very expensive, very costly. And she came without a word. I have no doubt that she'd heard him preach. And she heard of the forgiveness of sins that's in Christ Jesus. She heard of the freeness of grace. And she heard something about his death. You know, on three different occasions, he said, I'm going to be crucified and buried and rise again from the dead the third day. He said that on three different occasions. And you wonder, why weren't the disciples waiting at his tomb 3 days later? Well, they either didn't pay attention or they didn't believe, but this woman did, because the Lord said, she's anointed my body for the burial. She knew exactly what she was doing. She heard the Lord say this, and what she was doing was very intelligent. She knew why she was breaking this alabaster box, but she felt led to do it. She heard him preach. She felt led to do this. You know, a lot of times when we feel led to do something, if we wait long enough, we'll lose those impressions, won't we? Just wait. What you feel impressed to do, it'll die out. But this woman didn't do this. She thought, I'm going to take that box of ointment and I'm going to anoint his body for burial. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he said at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves. They watched what she did and they criticized her. They criticized her. You know, anytime there's anybody that does anything, somebody very small-hearted will be there to criticize. And they criticized her. And these were the disciples that criticized her. Yeah, I know Judas was the ringleader, but all of them were thinking this. All of them, the disciples. You see, disciples are not very good at recognizing what a good work is. The Lord does, but not the disciples. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for much more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. What a waste of time. What a waste of money. Look what she could have done. Criticized her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble you her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Now this is the only thing the Lord ever called a good work. She hath wrought a good work on me. And this is the good works Paul is referring to, that he says we're ordained to walk in them. For the poor, for you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me you have not always. She's done what she could. She's come aforehand to anoint my body for the burying. That's why she came. She had an appreciation of his death. Do you have an appreciation of his death? Do you have an appreciation of his death? What do you mean by that? Do you find all of your salvation in his death? I don't mean 99% of it. I mean all of it. If you don't, you have no appreciation of his death. I want you to think of the appreciation the Father has of his death. That is the same appreciation every believer is to have. She's come to anoint my body. She knows I'm going to die. She knows I'm going to rise from the dead. And she's come to anoint my body for the bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Now let me tell you one thing that this woman did not do. She didn't think, I'm going to do a good work. Didn't even come into her mind. I'm going to do a good work. I'm going to do something that God would call good. That never entered her mind. Now, I love the way the Lord said in one of the other accounts of this same event, she hath wrought a good work on me. It's implied here, the poor you have always, but me you have not always. But she acted from the impulse of a loving heart. She didn't ask herself, is this my duty? She didn't ask herself, were other people doing this? She acted on the impulse of a loving heart, and she did what she did for him. The disciples criticized her, but she didn't do it for them. She did it for him. Now, when we give, and that's so important, giving proves the sincerity of your love. When you give, don't give because it's your duty. Don't give because you think this is what I ought to do. Don't give to pay the light bills and to pay the preacher or to pay anything. Don't look at it in that light. We give as unto the Lord. Love gives. And she took this alabaster box of precious ointment. And she didn't think, well, there's too much sacrifice. This is a lot. This is a great sacrifice. No. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. What she did was extravagant. For a good smell? Yeah. Yeah. It was premeditated. She acted on her impulse. She did it without a word. She didn't broadcast it. She didn't advertise it. I want people to find out about this. I want people to know. Now that's in our heart. Anything you do for the glory of Christ, you're going to want somebody to find out about it. It's wrong. It just shows how sinful you are and how sinful I am. I'm afraid that anything anybody ever does, somebody's going to find out about it. You ruined it. You ruined it. Let not your right hand know what your left is doing. And I'll guarantee you, this woman did not think this was a good work. She wasn't even thinking in those terms. She was thinking of the glory of the Lord and the power of His death. Now, God, let's go back to our text. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 10, for we are His poem, His workmanship, created. Oh, that's so powerful. Created. How much do you have to do with creation? Zero. Nothing. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. There's my standing. There's my only hope. Here's my only desire, that I might win Christ and be found in Him. When God comes looking for me, I want Him to find me in the Lord Jesus Christ. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Just like this woman. Not advertised, not thought of as good works. Love to Christ. Love to His people. Anything done out of love to Him is a good work. And it's the walk of the believer. It's the walk. He doesn't say perform them. He says walk in them. Don't try to do them. If you try to do a good work, it's no good. If you think it's a good work, it's no good. It's not even real. This is not something, I'm going to do this. Don't think that way. By the grace of God, don't think that way. Walk in them. This is the walk of a believer. This is the walk of every believer. It's because God has before ordained that they should walk in them. Walk in good works. Now, give me a place to begin. I want to close with two scriptures. The first one is found in John chapter 6. Verse 28, John chapter 6, verse 28. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. Let's begin right there. Matter of fact, better not leave there. What can I do to work the works of God? Believe on Him whom He has sent. Believe He sent Him. Believe He did what He sent Him to do. And rest in Him. You know, if you do that, I don't have any doubt that you will walk in good works. No doubt about it. If you just believe on Him whom He has sent. Last scripture is Titus chapter 3. Verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now this is a faithful saying, what I've just said. And these things, justified by grace, without works, these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Now you hear that? By the grace of God, every time you come to this place, this is what you're going to hear. And you're going to hear it constantly. And you're not going to hear anything else. All you're going to hear is salvation by grace. These things I will that you affirm constantly, repetitively, over and over. Same thing. Why? That, or in order that, they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. The only way anybody's going to be careful to maintain good works is if they constantly hear free grace. And they will walk in them. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that we might be just like that woman so many years ago. Lord, we find all of our salvation in Thy Son. And we ask that by Your grace, because You foreordained it, and that it's totally the work of Your sovereign grace, we ask that we might be enabled to walk in good works for the glory of Thy name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Dwayne, come lead us in closing.